NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
The Flight Safety Detectives is bringing on a new sponsor, Piston Powered, a power-by-the-hour program for owners of piston-powered aircraft that can stabilize the long-term cost of owning your airplane.
Well, hello, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, doing just fine. Here in this holiday season, we're recording this show on December 22nd, and typically we take this holiday season off, but we've had some things happening recently that sort of made us do this surprise show.
Certainly some things have been happening. I mean, all of a sudden we have the sky falling with drones everywhere. And I don't know whether that's just a reaction because of drones have had so much attention given with the Ukrainian battle with the Russians and how much drones have really taken over the battlefield and extended the battlefield in saving lives on the part of the Ukrainians, but also the reaction from the press. I mean, it was like this event that started in New Jersey just hit the easy button. Of course, the New York newspapers are always into sensationalism. That's their middle name. So that they were really pumping up the facts. But it doesn't take away from the fact that something was going on. And the rest of the country may not know it, but there's a lot of military work that's done in southern New Jersey. With a big military base there. And so who knows if it was military plan. The military has kept their mouth shut throughout this whole time.
Well, so, unfortunately, some arms of government have kept their mouths shut. Other arms of government have been opening their mouths to very little effect. But it's a fairly confusing and complex situation. We're going to oversimplify it by saying what you just said is true. Absolutely. What happened in Ukraine over the last few years has really gotten the public's attention, especially on social media, where it's pretty clear that some very innovative things can be done with drones, small and large, including turning them into miniature smart bombs. More to the point, in late November, there started to be a series of reports, not just in New Jersey, but also in Great Britain. And in Great Britain, there are reports of drones overflying various bases where the U.S. has aircraft there, and allegedly in some cases, let's just say high-value weapons. And they were unidentified, they were not being shot down, and it was unclear who was behind it, whether it was a government, private individuals, or whatever. And in New Jersey, a similar thing was happening, sometimes over very sensitive areas. For example, there's one place called Picatinny Arsenal, and I do hope I'm pronouncing that correct, in New Jersey, which is a place where a lot of ordnance is created. And of course, you have other military assets there, McGuire Air Force Base, Fort Dix, New Jersey, Lakehurst, New Jersey, where the Hindenburg blew up so many decades ago. And this raised the alarm. Now, in my opinion, the alarm was raised in part, like you said, this is very close to the New York metropolitan area, very close to the largest media market in the United States. And of course, it's not a local story, New Jersey story. It's a global story if you listen to traditional media. And even beyond our usual media suspects, we have social media chiming in, mostly with noise. I've seen so many videos saying, oh, there's like a large secret drone flying. Oh, look at this. I got the lights on it. And you look at the light configuration. Some of these were clearly the same standard configuration we'd get on a regular airplane with the position lights, anti-collision lights, etc. Some of them, including one that was broadcast on a local television station, if you zoomed in, you can tell that it was not only a traditional aircraft, you could see the skids of a helicopter on it. So, bottom line, there was a lot of noise and very little fact. The facts were that there were drones being flown, sometimes fairly large looking, over residential neighborhoods, over sensitive facilities, and often at night. As a commercial drone pilot myself, one of the few things I know is that the regulations state that you cannot fly what they call a small UAS, unmanned aircraft system. You can't fly it at night without FAA permission. So if these are being flown at night, they were even either being flown without permission, because otherwise the FAA would have said, oh, this drone was there legally. It was a commercial drone. Or these are people who do not have the required equipment on their drones to be identified. And I won't go into great detail except to say the following. The FAA has very strict rules as to what you have to have on your drone to identify you. If you have a small drone, there's something called remote ID. Broadcast a signal. That signal is tied into your registration. It will give you the identity of the aircraft, the identity of the person who registered the aircraft, and more importantly, the location on the ground where the control system is being handled. So in theory, the FAA or some other law enforcement agency could home in on the signal, find out who's doing that, and do the necessary things to them. One of the things I haven't heard is anything about remote ID. Not from the media, not from official government briefings at the highest level, the White House, DOD, Department of Homeland Security, etc., which makes me think, okay, what's going on here? The answer is I don't know.
And there's a lot of things that have occurred within this arena that leave you to shake your head, aside from some of the actions the government has taken to make it look like they've taken positive steps, especially some local communities in like Yonkers, New York, banned drones with a local ordinance. And so it's all knee-jerk without the right facts, and it's playing to the politicians are responding to people's fears.
And using Yonkers as an example, here's the bottom line. When it comes to the airspace above the US, and the airspace is everything from one blade of grass above the ground to roughly 60,000 feet is controlled airspace, is regulated rather. Some of it is controlled. For example, immediately around airports and such, that's heavily controlled airspace. You need special permission, special equipment to go in and out of a major airport. But there is controlled airspace all over the country. And in fact, your average commercial drone, including the one I own, you can fly it typically up to 400 feet above ground level. And with some exceptions, that's the same with a commercial drone. That is, I can be up to 400 feet above ground level, but it is varied depending on where you are. Where I live happens to be about 2 miles as the crow flies from a local airport. The limit over where I live is actually 200 feet. Now, that's all very fine and good if you're following the rules. Clearly, a lot of people aren't following the rules. You can build a drone from scratch. College students, high school students, as science projects, do this all over the country. And one of the exceptions to the FAA rules about remote ID is if it's basically one that's built yourself, you don't have to follow those rules. So you could have folks who are fairly creative, who are building drones in their basement, in their backyard, in a lab somewhere, and flying them for whatever reason. And unlike even a simple airplane like a Cessna, it's hard for anyone to build a home-built aircraft. Usually very labor-intensive, very long process, not so much with drones. So there are likely many, many drones out there that do not have any kind of identification on it. And unless those people were aware of the regulations and tried to follow the regulations, they might be innocently violating regulations all the time.
Yeah, I watch the students at Vaughn College 3D print their drones.
Vaughan College is a college that's in New York City, right by LaGuardia Airport, where they have a lot of educational programs for people to get into aviation, including a fairly significant amount of stuff dealing with drones. Full disclosure, I'm currently an instructor there, so I'm kind of close to that particular aspect of what people are doing with drones.
And I also am an instructor there and have been for quite some time. In any event, so I get to see these young minds and what they can do. This is really perplexing to see the reaction to this. And where are we going to be? We're getting ready to start package delivery with drones. I mean, we got a few, at least one test location going on right now in the US. I mean, pretty soon they're going to be everywhere. Maybe that's what it's going to take to calm the public down when they just get so common that, like airplanes, nobody pays any attention to them anymore.
Actually, there's a lot of speculation about what's happening over New Jersey and New York. One part of that speculation is that, oh, these are commercial drones, package delivery, whatever. The companies that are trying to get this together are following very strict FAA regulations. They would be extremely unwise if they let any part of their company fly these drones without following those regulations, because that could get into the way of their future revenue stream, and they'll be possibly delayed or denied with respect to those permits. Some other speculation, these are actors from other countries. Russia, China, and Iran are the three big players here in that set of speculation. A lot of these reports, the drones have lights on them. In fact, they make no effort to hide their presence. If I were an actor from some country trying to do this, it doesn't make sense to call that much attention to yourself. So I sort of put that to the side. Now, one thing I won't put aside is what people are doing on their own initiative. In the last month, December 2024, there's been an uptick in reports of pilots having lasers shown on them over the New York, New Jersey area by a factor of almost three from the previous year. My suspicion is that people are pointing handheld lasers at drones, or what they think are drones, because they're trying to point a laser at it for fun. They're trying to blind the drone. Here's the thing: pointing a laser at an aircraft is against federal regulation. You can be charged with all sorts of civil and criminal penalties, depending on your reason for doing so. There have been people who've been put in jail for over a year in prison because they've shown a drone at a helicopter or a police helicopter, or what have you. Those cases happen every year. So those of you who are thinking of pointing a laser at a drone, don't do it. Get a flashlight, don't use a laser.
Good advice. We have a focus now on New Jersey, but there's also been other activity and some of it ongoing.
Oh, indeed. In fact, earlier this year, I believe early part of 2024, maybe late 2023, there were a series of fairly large drones seen over Langley Air Force Base down in Virginia. Now, Langley, that area, is home to Langley Air Force Base, NASA, all sorts of naval assets and ships and such. So that's a heavily defense-oriented part of the country. And here it was, the air base that actually has F-22s that are there to protect that part of the United States from untoward aircraft coming toward them. They had something or someone violating their airspace repeatedly, and they couldn't get to the bottom of it. At least that's the official word of it. Whether this was some third country trying to probe what the U.S. response would be to a drone over their airbase, I don't know. If the government knows about it, they're certainly not sharing it with the common folk like ourselves. Even before that, 2019, 2020, there were multiple reports out in Colorado and Nebraska of someone or something flying multiple large drones, sometimes for long periods of time at night, over various parts of rural Colorado and Nebraska. Nothing was found out about that as well. And I'm not even going to get into some of the cases that have come up in the last few years of swarms of drones flying over naval ships at sea, U.S. naval ships at sea. So there's a lot of this type of mysterious drone activity going on. It's very rare that it happens repeatedly over a heavily populated area such as northern New Jersey and the New York City metropolitan area.
It is crazy.
Now, just a few days ago, this is the 22nd we're talking about here. Just a few days ago, I believe starting on December 19th, there were roughly 70 areas over New York and New Jersey where temporary flight restrictions, TFRs, were implemented over a variety of critical infrastructure type places. These TFRs were unusual in that they were from 0 to 400 feet. Like I said before, that's the typical limit for a recreational commercial drone. They were only over these areas. And looking at the actual list of TFRs, which is there on the FAA website and elsewhere, a lot of them are over electrical distribution centers. A couple of them are over the reservoir systems that supply water to New York. One of them, oddly enough, wasn't over that kind of infrastructure. And I actually looked at the Latin long, which is in the documentation for this TFR. If you're watching the video version of this, I'm flashing that on the page. This is from my ForeFlight on my iPad. And in the corner, they had the actual Latin long down to degrees, minutes, and seconds. Plugged it into Google Maps, and it showed that it was centered at a company that does the various kinds of manufacturing work for microelectronics, I believe, chips and whatnot. And in fact, the name of the TFR had that company's name as part of the name of it. So it's not a secret where these TFRs are. And I thought to myself, who's ordering these? Was it the FAA? Was it the White House? Dug a little bit, and especially with the help of the War Zone, which had an article about this on the 19th of December. Apparently, partners with the DHS, who are partners with their critical infrastructure program, can actually request something like a TFR. And the PSE&G electrical utility, which covers parts of New Jersey and I believe New York, ordered up, according to the War Zone, 22 of these. So I said to myself, well, if the War Zone had to go through whatever process to find out about this, maybe there's something on the DHS website on their public affairs page. I looked at their recent press releases. Makes no mention of this, makes no mention of them about to do this sort of thing with these critical infrastructure partners. So let's get back to what we were talking about earlier. Confusing messages being sent out by the federal government. On the one hand, some parts of the government are saying, oh, these aren't a threat. We understand what's going on. There was even a report I heard from an FAA spokesperson who said, we can identify all the drones that are being flown, which is kind of silly since not all the drones that are out there actually have identifying equipment on it. But putting that aside, here it is, DHS and their partners are implementing things on a fairly rapid basis. These TFRs are going to be in effect from late December until January 17th or 18th, coincidentally, right before the new administration takes over. And what has not been said is if you have a TFR, do you also have the means to identify people who are violating that TFR? From 0 to 400 feet, let's just assume that the radars that they use for air traffic control and even for air defense aren't going to be able to spot anything that low. There is equipment out there that can detect drones flying in a particular area, but we're talking about an area where from the center of the TFR, I believe it goes out, let's say 1 mile in radius. You're talking about a fairly large airspace. How many people are you going to have out there to look for drones? Either literally look with their own eyes or with special equipment or what have you. And you have 72 of these. Are there, let's say, on the order of 100 teams of people, because people have to sleep and whatnot, are there 100 teams of people you can send out right now to those 72 areas that could detect a drone flying in that area or detect signals of a drone controller in that area? My guess is that you can't. So, is this out of an abundance of caution, but with a total lack of resources? Or does the government have a whole lot more resources out there than they've ever let on? And they can actually effectively manage incursions into that airspace? My opinion. Given that they couldn't do it over Langley Air Force Base, I doubt if they can do it over these 72 areas.
It's crazy. Do we know how many in number of sightings we've had in the last few days?
Numbers of sightings, that's hard to gather because there's no central repository of effectively counting up how many sightings you have. And also, we have the common problem of you might have someone see something, five different people say the same thing, you have five reports of one report. And here's an even bigger problem. Apparently, a lot of the reports that are coming in, either unofficial reports on social media and such, are really confused about what they're looking at. In one case, apparently, there was some fairly high official who had some video pointing in the sky saying, look at these drones. They're just sitting there in the sky for hours. Turns out he was looking at the constellation Orion. Though I am pretty sure that there's a lot of mistaken identity on the part of people who don't know and really look up looking for aircraft.
Yeah,
And some of
well,
the zoomed in fuzzy photos is like, look, there's one of these big drones. Yes, it has the red and green wingtip lights on it coming at you, and it's flying in a controlled manner. It's like a zoomed in video of some aircraft at a distance, but because it's zoomed in and at night, it's kind of fuzzy. And the only thing you can see is a fuzz ball of light and a red and green light. In my opinion, most, if not all of those, are traditional aircraft.
I can't say that I would expect a UFO, using the old term, to come in with red and white lights and green, saying, here I am.
Now, if you were either a fan of science fiction or have followed the UFO, UAP community over the years, there's speculation not based on much fact that, well, maybe these entities are actually copying the technology we have, and what they have are actual UFOs, but they put lights on them like regular airplanes, so we won't notice them. Nice theory. Give me some facts to back it up. I'll be all behind. What are some things the average person can do right now to deal with this? Well, one is to not do anything that's dangerous. For example, we already talked about putting lasers in the direction of aircraft. Don't do it. Even if you think it's a drone 50 feet away, it could be not a drone, but a crewed aircraft. Don't do that. Second, people have joked about, oh, yes, if they have the drones come down to my part of fill in the state, we got shotguns and 12 and 30-06 rifles. Don't shoot at anything flying. Which brings up another question. Why don't they just shoot them down? Think about it for a second. For decades, we've had drug runners, all sorts of people who are flying things or driving cars who are obviously out for no good, obviously are involved in activities that should be stopped. Yet very rarely are these folks shot at because there are rules of engagement, whether you're a police officer on the ground or the military during peacetime in and around an airbase. Now, the joke I had by myself is, what if I was back in the Air Force and I happened to be pulling guard duty one night because I misbehaved at the office, and instead of being in a nice, cool office, I'm in a guard shack, and I see something coming at me. And I have an M16 at my side. If it's really close like a drone, would I shoot with it with the M16 or pick up a rock and throw it? I'd pick up the rock. There's a lot less paperwork with picking up a rock. You pull a trigger on a weapon on a U.S. military base. Here in the continental US, there will be a lot of paperwork, a lot of questions to answer. Throw a rock, not so much.
Well, as Confucius say, may you live in interesting times. We're certainly there now.
We got that going on. And by the way, just in time for the Christmas season, a lot of you out there are either receiving a drone or giving a drone to a child, a friend, or what have you. Tell them to follow the rules. Tell them to have fun. Tell them not to try and put a funny video on YouTube by flying a drone at night and saying, oh, look, it's a UFO. Don't do that. If you're online and you're trying to get clicks and clout or whatever because you're putting some spooky looking video up there, yeah, go ahead and have your fun. But most of us who have any sensibility about this can recognize junk from real information. If you have real information, by all means, contact the authorities. Even put it online if you have Facebook, YouTube, whatever. But if you want to be helpful in this situation, help folks by not doing anything that's against the regulations, not trying to gin up interest in the subject, because believe me, there's already enough interest in it. And if you see something that's useful to the authorities, by all means, contact them.
Good advice. Well, we're going to keep our ear to the ground and follow this and all the other drone slash UFO type issues. And we have our resident drone expert. If you couldn't tell just listening to him, he's been into this side of the aviation world for quite a while.
Indeed.
And we're going to keep our fingers on it and keep you posted what we find.
It's kind of surprising, but it's been 8 years since they have offered commercial drone licenses to people. I found out about it about a week or two after it was offered to the public. I immediately went out and got my license, which, by the way, you can get without ever touching a drone, without even flying a drone. It's a question and answer paper test. And I've used that not to make money, but to understand what the drone industry is about, understand the regulations. And I'm carrying that forward by the class I'm teaching at Vaughan. I am actually teaching a class on drones. And I talk about issues like this. I talk about larger commercial drones and military drones. It's a fascinating subject, and one that goes well beyond whatever you're seeing in the news about what's happening over New Jersey and New York.
Well, very good advice again. Since we're just talking about drones, I'll forego my typical last word on flying and just say we will keep you informed as we find out any facts on this. We're going to watch it very closely because we think it's a two-pronged story, maybe three. One is how drones are developed here in the U.S. and where it's going, and was there any kind of foreign interference that can be identified, and so we will watch it. I will say one thing, that if you are flying an airplane, make sure you get that head on a swivel and looking for all sorts of airplanes, including drones. and please fly safely.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that, and we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. Visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.